welcome to the Earn Your Happy podcast. I'm Lori Harder, founder of The Bliss Project, three-time fitness world champion, fitness expert, and cover model turned self-love junkie, lifestyle entrepreneur, and author. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a thought that will help you bust through your fears, connect to your soul, and get focused and clear so you can elevate your life, business, and relationships. We don't wait until we're ready for someone to tell us we're good enough. We take what we want and we anoint ourselves. Get ready to earn, own, and unapologetically rock your happiness every single day. Are you with me? Here we go. Welcome back to the Earn Your Happy podcast. And today I have the pleasure of bringing a guest on who I've known for quite some time. And her name is Brooke Griffin. She is the author of Skinny Suppers, 125 Lightened Up Healthier Meals for Your Family. And she is the creator of SkinnyMom.com. This is where millions of women from around the world get the skinny on healthy living. So she's best known for her wildly popular Lightened Up recipes. And after starting a family of her own and struggling to lose her baby weight, Brooke set out to help women like herself cook full flavor, lightened up meals that don't take hours in the kitchen. So you guys, I am beyond thrilled to bring all of her tips and information, not only on how to live healthier, but she truly shares so much information about her story of getting through really challenging times, through struggle, through creating the cookbook, through pulling herself out, through her faith. And you guys, I can't wait for you to listen in. So here we go. Brooke, I am so excited and honored to have you on. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Lori. I am beyond excited to be talking to you, just to connect with you, but then be part of the show is great. Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Well, when I was thinking of people that I wanted to have on, I literally was like, oh my goodness, I have not connected with Brooke in a while. And, you know, I see you all over. I love your Instagram. I know you just came out with a cookbook that you sent me. I have it in my hand, Skinny Suppers. And I will tell you, this book has made me so hungry in the best way that literally tonight I'm going to go look through it so that I can start a recipe. But why don't we go way back to the beginning? I would love for people to get to know you, because to me, you are like the entire package, but your heart is so big that I want people to really know the journey, and I really want people to know you. So can you take me back to a time maybe before fitness and before you really got into this lifestyle?
I mean, sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how far you want me to go back, but I'll take you back. I mean, my story goes, I grew up in southeastern Kentucky, small town, and you know, I'm going to share this just because it'll be part of the journey. You'll understand. But my family was really, we were a small town family, and we would go to my granny. She lived next door, and she cooked these big meals, and we would, you know, eat dinner together. But we really had these great memories around our conversation and faith. Like, faith was a huge part of my growing up. My mom was a choir director. So I share that just to say, like, that was a huge part of my upbringing. Mm-hmm. And as I moved away to college, I was the first to go to my college in my family, but I've always been athletic. I mean, I joke that, and it's true, I taught my first aerobics class at 15 years old. So that was just like kind of a part of me. And so when I went away to school, I became very active in health and fitness. I was a collegiate cheerleader. I kind of helped pay for my college as a personal trainer. And then that's actually when I started getting interested in the fitness competitions and, you know, spent a couple seasons cheering for the NFL. But it was during this time, too, that I really walked away from that faith upbringing and really kind of turned my back on God and said, you know, I've kind of got my life together. I know what I want to do with myself. And that could not have been further from the truth, but that's just kind of my path. And then in 2009 was kind of a big moment. I competed in the fitness competitions and actually won the Fitness Universe contest and started doing a lot of things in the fitness space. But the real pivotal moment for me would actually be several years later when I had my son. I just, you know, a year before I'd gotten married, and I was a new mom, and I was in just this really difficult place in my life, meaning I'd had my new son. I'd gained 70 pounds, so I'd went from being, you know, kind of at this, the most in shape I had ever been just, you know, 2 years before, and now I've had my son. I've gained all this weight, and I'm dealing with depression and anxiety because I'm going through an unexpected divorce. I didn't have a job. I was 30 years old. I had to move back in with my parents, and I really felt like I had lost everything. And it was at this moment that I can remember, I really just was crying and weeping, and I just cried out and said, you know, God, if you're real, I need you right now. And that was the moment that would radically change my life, because I know that he spoke to my heart. I truly took this, and, you know, in the days and the weeks that followed, I felt like there was hope now, and I started saying, you know, what do I want to do with my life? What am I going to do? And I had this creative idea, and I said, you know, you've always had a passion for health and fitness. You know, start doing this now for you, but don't do it for you. Do it for your son, and help inspire others around you. And I started a blog called skinnymom.com, where moms get the skinny, started posting workouts. And then, you know, thinking back to my granny cooking, I said, you know, I want to cook for my son. I want to have these memories. And so I started cooking meals. A lot of them were her recipes, lightening them up and making them, you know, what I called skinny. And I started posting them. And it went from family and friends coming and visiting the website to a couple thousand. And what it is today is far bigger than anything I could have ever dreamed, Lori. I mean, you know, we get about 6 million unique visitors a month to the website each month. And now with the cookbook, it's just incredible. But I share my story really just to give God the glory, because he gets the credit for everything, for sure. But it's just been a journey that that I could have never seen, you know, turning out the way that it did.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for sharing that. I know that's really going to touch a lot of people, because I find that women, when they go through something traumatic like that, a lot of people, or people in general, tend to isolate themselves. And what I love that you said is you know, you asked, you reached out to God, you moved back in with your family, you prayed, and it's because it can't be done alone, right? So it's reaching out for help and asking. So what were some other things that you did just to make sure? It sounds like you poured yourself back into that thing that you knew helped you from the beginning, but were there other things that you made sure to do each day to kind of pull yourself up out of that?
Yes, like I completely changed, you know, just I got really intentional with how I spent my time each day. Well, I was busy being a new mom, but then also I started saying, okay, you know, I want to start my day. I became intentional with praying every day, doing a devotion, and I started writing things down. I think there's such power in, you know, not only writing your goals down, but just really having accountability through writing and making sure that for me, it was my health. So I wanted to write, you know, different health goals that I had and different, you know, as I think about, as I was starting my company, just different goals I had of things that I wanted to try to accomplish. So I would write those down. And I look back now at those journals and it's just like, wow, you know, because I can see God moving through all those different situations, but I can also look back and read how far he's brought me, if that makes sense. So I'm a big advocate of just writing things down. But then I think I took a completely different approach than what I had used to do with my health and fitness, you know, before I had my son, because before I was used to having the time to go spend, you know, an hour at the gym, and, you know, I just had more time and that was kind of my focus. But now I think things, you know, at this time had really shifted. And I said, I want to focus on taking care of myself every day. That was a focus, but I saw it as it wasn't an all or nothing. Like, I just tried to do what I could do. So it would be working out from home, doing a couple things, or, you know, getting out and playing with Easton. And then I really became focused on just eating more of my meals at home and cooking a lot more and planning out things.
Mm-hmm. That is amazing advice. And I really want you to break it down for the people who are listening, because I think even people who, you know, I love your journey, Brooke, because what you guys don't know, I met Brooke at a fitness competition, and literally it was like this incredibly sweet, you could just, like I said, you can feel this woman's soul when you speak to her and how much she cares about people. And then I watched you on stage and I was like, what kind of acrobatic ninja is this? Like, she flips and she's powerful and it's so intense. You moved me to tears when I watch you at your fitness competition. So what I love about your journey is that people think once they get there, they're there. Like, oh my gosh, this woman must have it all together. It must be just how it is. But it's a practice, and different things in your life can happen where it can take you out. And truly, I mean, you were not expecting what you went through. You weren't expecting a divorce. You weren't expecting to gain the weight that you had. So, okay, so it's day one for you again, right? It is like the beginning. It's day one. What is the first thing for a listener who is just really overwhelmed with what to start with? Is it journaling? Is it just focusing on one meal? What would you say? What did your day one look like? Okay, here's day one. Okay, here's day two.
Yeah, so if I had to say day one, like I love like list of threes. So the first thing, I would definitely start with that journal. There is just power in writing things down. Make your list of goals and write every day. Commit to just saying, you know, I'm going to write a couple sentences. I try to do it in the morning always, but even at night when you're going to bed, if there's a little time that you can put to just kind of look at your day and say, how did I do today? So that's the first thing. The second thing, I would commit to trying, if you've never, you know, made any changes to your meals and things, I would try to say, you know, you're going to eat at least one healthy meal, or my motto is never eat a bad meal twice. So I would commit to saying, planning out that one meal, and I would start with dinner just because that's usually the ones that we have to serve our families. So I would start with that dinner meal and say, you know what, I'm going to cook a healthy meal tonight. And then if things go wrong or unexpected in my day, I'm not going to throw in the towel, this all or nothing attitude, and say, okay, I'm going to start next week. No, just get right back on track when you can. And then the third thing I would say, and this is how I still live, do something active. So if for me, I have three exercises that if I have not worked out, I will do them before I go to bed. Like, it is like routine. I know what they are because it takes literally 5 minutes, but it just makes me feel better, you know, and I did something today. So I would say do something, even if it's working out, you know, at home with a couple exercises.
I love that. And I have a question for you, because so many people ask me, because they hear successful people journaling, what did those first couple sentences look like? What did you write? What did you say? What was it? Was it writing down goals, or did you actually just write out your feelings?
Yeah, for me, and just going back to that faith piece, I mean, if you look at my journals from when I started, I would say that they were very much a lot of things that I needed help with, because I was in a place of like, okay, help me today to eat healthier, help me to find time to work out, because I was praying, you know, it was part of my prayer. But now as I look through journaling, you know, when I first started, it truly was, like you said, a couple sentences or just a couple goals, like I want to cook a healthy meal. And I would sometimes even write out the recipe. As I look back, I can see some of the recipes that I would write out, the title of them. But now I can literally write pages, and it's more of, you know, the things that I'm thankful for. I always try to, I found, as you know, through this process, that having just starting off with thankfulness, just the things that I'm thankful for, usually puts me in a better mindset to have what I think is a more productive and just better day. So I try to do that. And then I try to list out things that I want to get accomplished that day. And that always includes working out and eating healthy. But then I also, you know, if there's something on my heart or something that I'm worried about, or, you know, maybe is just something that I need to make a decision on, I kind of always write that down there, because I feel like for me, if I write it down, I am a very, you know, spiritual person, that it gives me comfort in knowing like, okay, he's heard that prayer. He knows that thought I'm having. So he's going to help, you know, help me make that decision, or help me, you know, get through whatever it is that I need to get through that day.
I love that. I'm a firm believer in offering up your worry, because it's not ours to worry about, and just letting it go. And I think writing is so, that's such a great way to release it, put it down and just say, it's out. It's yours now. Take this from me. It's not for me to handle.
I love that, Lori. And don't you think when you write, you know, after you go through whatever it is you were worried about, you can go back and look at that date and say, you know, I wrote that down and gave it to you, and look how great the outcome is. Because I always think he has big outcomes and works things out better than we could.
Always. So. It's better than we could ever imagine. And looking back, I think that's what I want people to know, is I think that it's better than what you could possibly fathom. So it's worth all of the, you know, those moments where you feel like you're sacrificing in hard work, because your brain can't even wrap around how good the blessings are going to be.
completely agree. Yes.
So many people that I talk to who are super successful, we can't help but talk about healthy food. Why do you think that is?
You know, I think when you feed your body healthy food and you're used to eating healthy, healthy food, one, I just think you're going to have more energy to get more things accomplished. And I do think successful people, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into to kind of getting or reaching your goals. So you've got to have a lot of fuel. You got to have a lot of energy. And for me personally, you know, when I, and I say this because a lot of times it happens on vacation, if I'll sometimes let myself go and I won't eat as healthy as I should, I kind of feel just a little bit, I don't feel as good as I normally do. I just don't feel like myself. Mm-hmm. And I can just tell it affects my energy. And so I am just a big believer in eating healthy because it's going to fuel you. You're going to take care of yourself better and you're going to feel, have a better mindset to go out and accomplish the things you want to get done.
Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. Amen. And it's so, it's so much our channel to hear. I always talk about this. It's our channel to hear God speak or whatever you believe in. It's that channel. Our bodies are the way that we communicate, you know, and through which we feel. So it's funny because we just had Easter and it was a beautiful day. It was like a fantastic, amazing day, but I did totally overindulge. And on Monday, totally dragging, but you know what? You just have to switch those thoughts and be like, okay, it was worth it. It's going to be fuel. So, you know, I love, love, love your cookbook because here is why. Not only because of the amazing pictures and all of the recipes in there, but because it's not extreme. It's like all of my favorite foods turned into something healthy. So tell me about what, like the entire thought process around just eating is for you. And I think people, you know, they'll look at someone like you and think, oh, she must eat perfect. Or how do you stay on that? Or how do you make that happen? So what's the theory behind what you're doing?
Yeah, so actually it comes from, you know, if I go back to competing in fitness and that, that was a very different, I guess, food philosophy that I had back then, which there's nothing wrong with it. It worked and it was, but it was very hard for me personally to maintain long term. So my food philosophy now is the recipes, every recipe in here is true to how I live my life. I live it very balanced. I don't, you know, follow strict diets and I don't sacrifice the things that I love and want to eat. I just try when I cook to do what I call like skinny swaps and swap things out. And that's become a way of life for me. So it allows me to take some of my favorite comfort food recipes or Southern inspired recipes and lighten them up enough so that I can truly eat them every night and not have to feel guilty. And they taste really good because that's the thing for me is I want food to taste good. Like I want to cook a meal and when my family comes over, I don't want them to know that it's, you know, healthy or skinny food. Like I want them to think that they're eating, you know, something that's, you know, full of all kinds of flavor and they can have nice sized portions.
I love that. That has so become my theory after fitness too, because it's like the more extreme measure I took, the more extreme the crash, right? It was like, my gosh. So, you know, what I want people to listen to that you are saying is that you created this beautiful life of purpose. You're giving your gifts. You're really living in your genius right now, creating things that you love. And I'm sure that time is flowing and passing in such a beautiful way because you're enjoying it. But this came out of a really dark time. So where did you have to go mentally to open up your mind to be able to see the creativity and realize that you had so much purpose within what had just happened to you? How did you make that shift into creating something that also pulled you out of where you were at?
So, you know, I think for me, as I look back, it truly was at this place of brokenness and this place of where I truly felt like a failure. I mean, I'm okay to admit that now because everything in my life, I felt like I had lost. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was truly, you know, tapping into my faith. And that has, as I shared again, it has completely changed my life. I think because one, I had hope for what my future could look like. So that was this sense of hope. And I think every day when you wake up and you're hopeful and you anticipate that good things are going to happen to you, I think it does allow for you to step out and reach, you know, some of the goals and dreams that you have. Mm-hmm. But then also I think over this journey, I've seen such a change in who I am as a person because I think that before my encounter with faith and before, you know, I allowed God to really come in my life and do a work in me. I put so much value in the accomplishments and the things that I felt like I was doing by my own strength. And now I can see that it really isn't by my strength, but it's by His. So it takes so much pressure off of me, because I know that whatever I do is going to, you know, as long as I'm giving it my effort, He's going to step in and help me kind of where I can't do it. And so I feel like that's a big part of it too, is I don't feel like I have that pressure anymore to succeed. And what's crazy is I feel like this has been, this has been the best part of this journey, but now these wonderful things are happening and I'm enjoying them. And truly I am doing what I love. So I think when you can find something that you love doing, that it shows in that too. But I would say that's kind of, what's been so great about this journey.
Thank you. Oh, that reminds me of the quote, we feel weak when we're relying on our own strength.
Yes.
So always
I
just
love that. I'm like actually writing that down. Great.
I always remember that. I'm like, why do I feel tired or why do I feel weak? Oh, I think I have to shoulder it myself. That's right.
Yes.
Okay. It's not about me. Let's offer this up, because life is not, it's yes. not always easy, right? It's, but it makes you stronger. What's not easy makes you so much stronger. So, I want to know, what does it really look like to make this goal happen? Okay. So you had this idea of this book, like, okay, I feel so inspired. This is what I want to do. This is what's going to pull me out of here. Here's how I'm going to spend my time. And it really helps me wake up and give me purpose to help other people. But what does it really look like? What are the tough moments? How do you get through them to the other side?
So, wow. Well, can I tell you a little bit about the cookbook process? Would
yes.
you care? Just because
I love
anyone
it.
Out there, because so, you know, this opportunity came kind of out of nowhere. An editor from a publishing company emailed me and said, would you want to write a book? Of course, I was like, this is amazing. Yes. Well, then kind of the catch came, because anyone that's wrote a cookbook, you normally get 2 years. That's about what time it takes. And they were like, we want you to write a cookbook, but we want it to publish next year. So you have 5 months to cook 125 recipes. And I'm thinking, I've never done this before. This is crazy. I had to, you know, doing all the pictures. And so I almost said no, Lori. That's what's crazy, is I almost said no out of fear. Mm. So anyone listening, I want to encourage you that, you know, if you're thinking, you know, this could be the right opportunity for me, or you have a door that's open, but yet it's so scary, I'm just encouraging you to push through and do it, because it kind of goes back to that quote. It was one of those moments where I said, you know what, I know that I can't physically do this, but I'm going to, if this is truly an opportunity that I'm supposed to take on, I know that, you know, I'm going to have the grace to get it finished and to see it through. So I said yes, signed up for it. And out of my little kitchen, I was cooking 3 to 4 recipes a day. I'd wake up at 5, wouldn't go to bed till 7:30. Well, we wouldn't get finished till 7:30 or 8. And then I would, you know, obviously had my son and get him ready for bedtime and stuff. But it was a 5-month process. All the pictures, you know, I took, with the help of a wonderful photographer that's part of my team. We took them out of my tiny kitchen, and we'd have to wait for that perfect sunlight, because it's all about the lighting with those food pics. And it was definitely the most challenging thing I've ever done, and it was so much hard work, but it's been by far the most rewarding thing that I've ever accomplished. So I would say that it's scary. Most days I was scared to death, not knowing if I'd be able to do it. But and it was a lot of hard work. But I love this this thought that's been kind of in my spirit, is that, you know, there's nowhere where we're ever required to be fearless. There's nothing that says that we won't have fear. But when we want to accomplish something, what is required is that we show up every day. And that's what I think that myself and my team did. We showed up every day, and we're just so proud of this little cookbook.
Oh my gosh. Well, you should be. And anyone who grabs it will see exactly why. And it's going to be one of your favorites. There's a Richard Branson quote that I'm totally going to slaughter, but you'll love that one too. It's about, if an opportunity comes to you and you don't know how to do it, just say yes and learn along the way, because it's the only
yes.
way that anything gets done. Like, it's the only way. So you guys listening, it's like, what was she going to do to get ready for a cookbook? Write a cookbook? No, you have to just, the only way
yes.
to get ready is to, she just said yes and realized that she's not doing it on her own. It's like, I always say that, like, all of these, whether it's earth angels or different things coming, it's just all these people are going to appear in your life, who are going to help you along the way, but you have to be open. It's a faith practice for a reason. It's because every day is a practice and a test of your faith to see. So, Brooke, how do you avoid basically just extremes in your life? Like, do you ever get tempted to just like leap into things that are, you know, whether it's something with transformation with your body, or I know you work with a lot of women, and I know it's so tempting out there with everything, you know, all the information. How do you kind of cut through it all?
You know, yes, I think that there are a lot of extremes out there, especially in the fitness and the health industry, a lot of, you know, fad diets, extreme diets. But one, I always do try to take it back. I think, and you probably can comment about this, having been in the fitness industry and competing and stuff, we kind of know those extremes, and we also know the outcomes, and that it's far better to avoid the extremes and just really focus on this balanced lifestyle. So I think that word is key. It's just, it's a balance. And that's really how I try to live my life every day. It's just all about that balance, whether it's, you know, in my health and fitness and taking care of myself or giving health advice to other women, or even just, you know, being a mom and a business owner and taking on some of these other projects, like just all trying to keep everything, living it balanced, and then just keeping perspective on my life is key as well, because I think when you have a good perspective that, you know, life's going to go on, it's not the end of the world, that kind of helps me stay, you know, make sure that I don't fall into those extremes too.
I love that. Brooke, okay, so yes. I truly believe that when people just follow their happiness, that's when we really start to get all the blessings that flow into our life. And I think a lot of people are chasing the body, or they're chasing the house or the man or the bag or whatever that thing is that they think is going to add happiness to their life. So what is it? Because it sounds to me like you really just focused on getting out of, you know, that mindset that you were in before, like the world crashing down on you. What is it that makes you happy, and how does that affect everything in your world?
Yeah. So for me, you know, I have to take it back to my faith. I mean, that is the center of my life, and that's truly why I feel like I'm here. That's my purpose. And so, you know, I think what I, you know, enjoy doing and what one of my gifts are, you know, is in the health and fitness industry and cooking and, you know, in the space that I'm in. But even with that, I mean, what makes me happiest is when I can, one, give God the glory and really tie it back into my purpose, which I think is living for Him. That does truly make me the happiest. And so I feel so fortunate that, one, I'm not afraid to say that anymore. I have a boldness to, you know, to really say that I love doing health and fitness, but I also have the spiritual side, and I can tie those two things together. And I think, you know, I am now, you know, living out what this can look like, because before I was so afraid to tell my story. And I think now getting to share it and you giving me this opportunity is kind of, you know, just encouraging me to keep doing this, because I guess I'm saying that because I was so afraid to connect those two, because that's what really makes me the happiest now.
Well, it's funny. I think there's so many things we look at someone and we're like, oh, she's health and fitness and she does this, or she's, you know, she's an author or she does this, but we are so multifaceted. And when I'm talking to all of these people, no matter where they've become successful in life, it has to do with food, faith, wellness, happiness. It's all the same, because we have to make sure, someone had said it was like visiting four rooms. We have to make sure we visit every single room. So whichever room, you know, it's like faith, health, mindset, whatever those four rooms were. I'm kind of messing that up, but it was so brilliant, because throughout the day you have to visit these four different areas in order to feel completely complete, because we are so multifaceted. So if we think it's just one thing that's making us happy, a lot of times we're going to be completely lacking in another area. So I just liked thinking about it that way, like visiting each room for a little bit during the day. Like, have I visited that room yet? Because if I haven't, I might feel a little bit empty, or, you know, maybe that faith is going to wane throughout the day. So I love that. And everything that you said, you really take it back to your faith and the practice of that, because that's where you are so, that's where it's really so rooted, is it's what we're thinking, what are we relying on, where are we getting our strength from. So I love hearing that, because I think when we talk about it too, it strengthens us. And when we talk about our stories, they really lose their power. So was that something for you, like getting it out there? How long did it take you to get that story out there? Who did you confide in at first in order to, you know, even just people wise, what's a safe place, maybe, if people have something they just need to share or ask for help, where would you say?
Well, so Lori, actually, I did not share this story. So this happened in 2011, and it was actually just a few months ago was the first time that I told the story, because that's how fearful I was. And I don't know if I was afraid of, I think, obviously what others would think, but I think I was you know, very shy in letting, because at this point, you know, the website had gained a large following and we had a lot of people commenting. And I think I was so afraid to let other women see my vulnerability, you know, that I had went through this dark place and that I had been so broken. And I just didn't know what to expect, really. I was like, will they stop following me if they've seen that I haven't been this, you know, I guess more like perfect, happy person. And that terrified me, Lori. But I will tell you that it was really scary. I spoke, you know, I shared it on the website and I started speaking about it publicly. And it has been the best thing that I could have ever done, because I think it's allowed me to connect with so many women on such a deeper level, because there's so many of us that have went through difficult circumstances, and to be able to share them and talk about them and see that great, amazing things can come from those places, I think is so encouraging.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I can so relate, because I think for a long time, you know, especially coming from a fitness background, I just felt like I needed to always appear perfect and be perfect. And it wasn't until, you know, and I wasn't connecting. I was like, why do I feel lonely? I have all these people in my life, but I'm not connecting truly deeply. And it's because we can only connect on the level in which we're willing to get vulnerable. And it's like, knowing that, or you sharing what you're going through, people can finally say, wow, me too. This is the real stuff that I'm really going through, not the surface stuff that I'm trying to show you what my life looks like. So, you know, in helping, so in doing that, it helps so many people. And not only that, it helps you. It helps you truly be like, this is where I'm at and this is where I'm going. So I can only imagine what so many people were doing, you know, because I think sometimes they put people, you know, looking at you, honestly, I'm just going to be really honest. They'll put you on a pedestal because they think it has to be perfect like that. And then sometimes they fall short because they're only seeing the perfection. So allowing them to see that they can have this life, they can follow this dream, because it's not perfect. And this is what it's going to look like. And here's what you can still do despite the fact, right? So that is so beautiful. I feel so honored that you were on here, or that you're on here and that you shared that too, because I think it's just going to give people that, you know, that push to get out and do what they want, no matter what it is, no matter what they're afraid of, no matter if they're afraid of not looking perfect or not. So Brooke, where can we find, like, where can I follow you and where can I find your book?
Yes. So you can find more information about the blog at skinnymom.com. And you can also find more information about me on social media, at skinnymom. And then the book is now available wherever books are sold.
That's so exciting. Yes. Is it so cool? Okay. So I need to know this because I'm writing a book, but I really want to know, have you like walked into a Barnes and Noble and seen it on the shelf yet? And what did you feel like?
Oh, it was okay. So just get ready, Lord. It's going to be the craziest thing ever. Seeing it on the shelves. One, I mean, I obviously started crying because I'm an emotional person. So I just cry, you know, I'm a female. And so I cried happy tears of joy. But then, and then I have, you know, of course you have to take a couple selfies with it. I'm not going to lie.
You have to.
You have to.
Oh my yes. gosh. Okay. So you have to like savor that moment, right? Those first moments, because we know that we're going to see you plenty of more times, but it's always that first time that is like, wow, like you can't even, you fathom it, because I know that you probably envisioned it, because that's how you get there, right? You have to see it. So is that what you would envision? Would you kind of like, when you were doing your visualizations before the book came out, or if you do that or not, what would you do like beforehand?
I mean, yes, I definitely had written down, you know, where I would want it to be. But I think even in your visions, just get ready, ladies, like put it down, write it down. It's going to be so much better when you see it.
Oh my gosh. That's so amazing. Yes. Okay. Last questions. Okay. So you are on an elevator and you only have 10 floors and someone asks you, what should I do with my life in order to be happy? How do I make myself happy? What would you say?
Oh, by far, I would say, do you know Jesus? And if you don't, let me tell you about him. And that would be it. I mean, because that's who I live my life for.
Oh, beautiful. Favorite food?
Mac and cheese, hands down.
Yes. Favorite recipe in your book?
Oh, Southern shrimp and grits. It's amazing.
Oh my gosh. And last one, perfect day. Describe your perfect day.
Oh, perfect day, I would say, is with my son, just hanging out at the park. And we try to do this a lot. We probably would go to the zoo and then we would stop at this favorite little place to get ice cream called Sweet Frogs and we'd hang out. And then I'd probably invite my family over. Like, those are my people. Just anything with my people, I love.
Oh my gosh, I'm coming over. Yeah. Okay, Brooke, I am so grateful that you came on and that you just shared so many amazing tips with everybody.
Well, thank you, Lori. This has been such an honor. And thank you for allowing me to share my story.
Oh, I just feel blessed to have caught up. And honestly, I'm going to take a million notes from this. So you guys, if you loved this episode of Earn Your Happy, please make sure that you share it with a friend or somebody in need, maybe going through the same thing that Brooke's gone through. And until next time, you guys, earn your happy. Have the best day. Bye-bye. Thank you guys so much for spending this time with me on the Earn Your Happy podcast. I am so glad that you stopped by. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing and we would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes and leaving us an honest thought, an honest comment. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would really help us out on our journey to helping thousands and thousands of people. Until then, don't forget to earn your happy. Thanks again, guys. Bye-bye.